Module 3, Lesson 2, Dreaming in the Dark. As I mentioned in the previous module on physiology, melatonin is one of the key regulatory hormones responsible for making us feel sleepy. But melatonin is not released constantly all day long. Rather, its release is regulated by the environment. So when it's light, melatonin is suppressed. When it gets dark, melatonin is released, which in turn makes us feel sleepy. Healthy adults and children get a surge of melatonin about 30 minutes before they get sleepy. That means that it's easiest to fall asleep in a dark room. You might be thinking, but wait, my child has fallen asleep in a light room before. Falling asleep in a light room at the beginning of the nap, or at maybe at bedtime for that matter, might be easy enough for some kids because their sleep pressure has built up enough to aid with falling asleep. However, falling back to sleep after already doing a cycle of sleep is often much more difficult if the sleep environment isn't dark enough and the child gets exposed to light as they go through that light sleep phase at the 45-minute mark. So it is important to adjust your little one's sleep environment to encourage easier settling and longer naps. On a really practical note, so on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being super bright and 10 being pitch black, we would recommend that you make your child's room about an 8 to 10 for all naps as well as for the night. Here, blackout curtains can be a great investment. And you want to make sure that you're also preventing those little cracks of light from creeping in on the sides, as that can dramatically increase the light in the room and be just enough to make connecting those sleep cycles hard for your little one and cause short naps, as well as early morning wake-ups, especially during the spring and summertime. On this topic, we frequently hear the following questions from parents. But won't I be trapped at home with a child that isn't able to nap anywhere except their dark bedroom? Well, actually, no. We've found both personally and in our one-on-one coaching work with families that having one good long midday nap in a dark bedroom at home actually often leads to more flexible children long-term. The dark sleep environment during this nap encourages longer, more restorative sleep, and that not only helps their biological clocks get into a predictable rhythm, but it also prevents overtiredness and just supports healthy development and sleep in general. So that means that even if you are out and about one day or traveling somewhere completely new, your child's body is more likely to stay in that normal rhythm, even if the new place is not quite as dark as at home. If you're keeping your little one's room light in the hopes of teaching her to sleep in any environment, this will probably backfire eventually because it doesn't really match up with your little one's physiology. You're more likely to end up with a child who doesn't nap well at home or anywhere else. So that's why we encourage you to plan for that norm of being home at least for one long nap a day, and that will help your little one navigate exceptions more successfully. The other question that we often hear is, won't making my child's room dark for the naps make them super confused between day and night? Also, not really. Although day and night confusion is a common concern for parents, and it might indeed be present for some newborns, it is not actually caused by a child being allowed to sleep in a dark room at nap time, and it's definitely not an issue in babies older than 2 months of age. So if you're worried about this issue, please go out and check the frequently asked questions section to learn more. As we mentioned in Module 2, exposure to natural sunlight during the day supports the production of the hormone serotonin, which is then converted into melatonin when it gets dark. That's why it's really important also to ensure that your little one gets exposure to natural sunlight, especially in the morning before the midday nap, and in the afternoon before bedtime, to encourage melatonin production and sleep. And just keep in mind, in areas of the world where there's little natural sunlight, a light therapy lamp could be helpful, especially during the dark winter months. On the other hand, something else to keep in mind is that exposure to blue light from electronic devices actually hinders melatonin production, which makes it harder for a child to fall asleep and stay asleep at bedtime, even when they're in a dark room. Exposure to screens also reduces your child's ability to focus and learn new skills through play and can also negatively impact their emotional regulation. So we encourage you to limit your child's screen time, especially 2 to 3 hours before bedtime. This also, keep in mind, includes passive exposure to screens, which might be a TV in the background, a parent or a caregiver on the computer or smartphone or whatever. So even if your little one is not currently getting any active screen time, like watching a TV, passive exposure to the TV or computer or phone would still potentially affect their sleep. Kind of in a similar vein, so I also want to remind you that we don't recommend the use of nightlights before the age of 1.5 to 2 years old for this very reason. And for more information on this topic, especially in terms of creating an optimal sleep environment or in relation to night fears, have a look at the troubleshooting and the frequently asked questions sections of this course. And now you can go to your worksheets and answer the questions from Module 3, Lesson 2, Dreaming in the Dark.